Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Rydale District Council's Planning Committee. We're not expecting a fire alarm tonight, so if it does sound, it is for real. Please leave the building by the rear doors or the door to my right and congregate in the top car park. Ladies and gents, toilets are in the corridor along with drinking water. Please can you ensure your mobile phones are switched off or on silent? We do have a number of speakers tonight. Each speaker will have 3 minutes and I will give an audible warning when there are 30 seconds left. Do all members have a copy of the agenda papers? Agenda item one, apologies for absence. Have we received any apologies?
Apologies have been received from Councillor Hope. There is no substitute.
Thank you. Agenda item two, declarations of interest. Councillor Cleary.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Item seven, I've been lobbied. Personal, non-prejudicial, non-pecuniary.
Councillor Windrus.
Item seven again, Madam Chairman. Personal, non-prejudicial, I've been lobbied.
Thank you. Councillor Janya Dean. Thank you. Councillor Paul Andrews.
Item seven, Chairman, and I have an item of any other business which I've mentioned to you, which I suppose I would declare an interest in.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs Shields.
Item number six, no pecuniary, no prejudicial, personal only.
Thank you. Councillor Maud.
Item number seven, lobbied by mail, I believe it was, and
Okay, thank you. Moving on to agenda. Sorry, Councillor Mrs. Goodrick, I do apologise.
Item six and seven, Chair, have been lobbied. Personal, non prejudicial, non pecuniary.
Thank you. Agenda item three is the minutes of the meeting held on the 20th of November 2018. Do you agree that these are a correct record? I'll move them from the chair. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Mrs. Shields. I'll put those to the vote. Thank you. Has somebody not voted, please? They are approved. Moving on to agenda item four, urgent business. I have no urgent business. Moving on to agenda item five, schedule of items to be determined by committee. I will be taking agenda item eight before agenda item seven, purely because the application item eight has been in with the council for a longer period of time and is the change of use application. Agenda item six is application at Field off Hunger Hill Lane, Wimbledon. As members will see from the late pages, there has been a large amount of information received after the agenda went to print. Reconsultations need to take place on this, as well as a new advertisement. So I'm going to move deferral from the chair. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Windrus. Thank you. So that has been moved and seconded. Can I take that to the vote, please? Two members not voted yet, please. Thank you. The application has been deferred. So move on to agenda item 8, which is the application at Deepdale Farmhouse, Village Street, Keldholm, with the application reference number 17/01455/full. We do have a couple of speakers on this application, but I'll hand over to Niamh.
Thank you, Chair. So the application site relates to Deepdale Farm. This is a site which lies to the east of the village of Keldholm, north of the A170, and is accessed by vehicle from Village Street. The site falls within the fringe of the Moors area of high landscape value, and the majority of the site is located within land designated as the wider open countryside. The proposal seeks approval for the change of use of the farmstead to form part livery stables, part holiday accommodation and part wedding venue, to include the erection of a one-bedroom timber chalet, a timber yurt slash barbecue hut, a Dutch barn and raised decking, the siting of a two-bedroom static caravan and shepherd's hut, and the use of the field and parking. Use of the field for camping and parking, and the creation of a new access road from within Bog Hall Farm for wedding traffic. And this is a retrospective application. There have been alterations to the description of the proposal in the determination period, and each time this has been suitably re-advertised by neighbour letter, parish council consultation, site notice in line with policy. Madam Chairman, the issues in the determination of this application have been fully considered in the officer's report, which is a very lengthy document. I don't intend to repeat the report and talk at length around the technical information that has been provided to support the recommendation, but in summary, the main issues raised are the principle of the development, the character, form and impact upon the area of high landscape value, the impact upon amenity, including residential amenity and the noise monitoring assessment, the impact of the development on highway safety and access, and other matters including consultation responses. I would also draw your attention to the late pages in which there is a representation from Mr. Cook, which you've been able to consider. And at the moment, there has been a large amount of detailed technical information and consultation responses received in relation to this application. We're now at a point where we feel we can recommend approval of the application subject to the listed conditions. So I'll just talk you through some of the photographs now. So this photograph is taken looking towards the main barns at the farmyard. So it's these barns which are used for the livery business in the winter months and will be used for the wedding. The weddings to be undertaken and the celebrations that goes along with that. And this is a view where you can see the back of those three runs of buildings. You can also see part of the shepherd's hut and the timber chalet that will be used for holiday accommodation and also by the wedding party themselves. This is an image of the actual farmhouse at Deepdale. And beyond it, you can see the position of the barns, which indicates the kind of close location of the wedding venue to the actual residential dwelling. This is a view of the horse walker, which, as I've mentioned before, is used for horses during the winter months, but that isn't required whenever they're in the fields during the summer, so that's again used as part of the wedding business. This is the barbecue hut, and you can see on the plans that that's located along the western side of the farmstead, and you can see that there is quite significant landscape in there as well, and you'll be able to see that better in further photographs. This is another view of the holiday accommodation, and that shows how it's kind of been positioned so it's rise into the rising land levels, which kind of limits some of the impacts within the area of high landscape value. This is a photograph of the Dutch barn. Again, you can see because of the rising land levels that it's been kind of nestled into the rising land And it has a fairly standard agricultural appearance used for storage of hay. That's just another view of that. And within that photograph, you can see the static caravan, which, as detailed in the report, is used as holiday accommodation for staff who undertake a cultural exchange scheme. So they'll come and work at the farm in exchange for accommodation. That's probably a better photograph that shows how it has quite a limited landscape impact because of the presence of existing landscaping. So this photograph is taken from the eastern side of the field that will be used for camping in association with the weddings. And it's important to note the camping is only related to the weddings. It's not turning into a wider campsite. We've recommended a condition which means that anybody coming to camp as a wedding guest will be able to arrive no earlier than the day before and leave no later than the day after, which kind of means it will be strictly controlled that it can't be just a 24/7 year-round campsite. And obviously the wedding business is between May and September only as well. That is a view from the west of the campsite and a little bit of the park and field as well. And that's just a view the other direction. So you can see there along the far part of the site, there's quite significant landscaping. So while the land levels do fall towards the village of Keldholm, there would be very little impact in terms of the actual camping or parking in terms of a wider landscape impact. And then this photograph has been taken at the point where the new access curves around to the north. As you're aware, this application came in with the access originally taken from between the properties of Moorcroft and Sunnycroft onto Village Street. And within the determination period of this, that has been altered to be taken from Bog Hall Farm to the north. It's felt that that will limit any impacts that could otherwise have experienced in terms of neighbouring amenity by impacts upon traffic, noise, general disturbance. Bog Hall is a working farm. There are two residential properties there, but the noise monitoring has assured us that there won't be a unwelcome impact in terms of noise and amenity to the occupiers of those dwellings. So that is a view. You can just see the original access just at the left-hand side of the image, and that goes down towards Village Street. And that starts to show some of the landscaping that is along the western boundary of the new access whenever it runs parallel to Village Street. And that's just a better view of that. So that access will be closed off during the wedding events. It can still be used by the applicants as part of their own kind of private access to the site if they wish. All livery traffic, all wedding traffic, and all holiday accommodation traffic will be required by condition to use that new access. So that's just another view looking northward along the new access. It has been installed now, and we have recommended a condition that whilst it is there, we just want a final surface on that to make sure it's suitable for all types of traffic to be used. That's just another image there, just again showing the different kind of types of landscaping along that point. And then this is looking down towards Bog Hall Farm from the new access. These are some of the agricultural buildings associated with Bog Hall Farm and the two residential properties. More agricultural buildings at Bog Hall Farm, and this is the new access. North Yorkshire Highways are satisfied with this revised access, subject to the recommended conditions, just improving the access point there. I think those works are underway. They weren't happy with the original access, but now that that has been altered as part of this proposal, they are comfortable with it. And this is just looking in towards Bog Hall Farm. One of the issues that had been raised in the letters of representation was concern that not everybody knew which access to use. As part of this application, we are conditioning that new temporary signage is put in place during the event, before and after, and it won't be left out all the time. So that will mean that people are aware of exactly where to go and, importantly, where not to go. One of the items which hasn't gone onto the late pages but has been received since then is an additional traffic management plan, which is going to be disseminated to all wedding guests, the wedding couple, you know, for use on social media or in wedding websites, for all existing and new livery users, and for anybody who books to come to the site as a holiday guest. And that is the plan that was just at the very beginning, so it just indicates clearly where you can't access and where you should be accessing. This was the original access to the site, and you can see there were issues in terms of access and highway safety in relation to visibility displays, but also in relation to the close proximity of residential dwellings and the impacts that they were experiencing in terms of noise and general disturbance. And that is the end of the photographs. This plan is the noise monitoring plan with the location points. You can see Deepdale. Thank you. I need technical help. You can see Deepdale there, the old access along there, new access along there. So noise monitoring was undertaken at these points. And that was on one Saturday during a wedding in July this year. All the noise monitoring results met with the World Health Organization requirements, and beyond that, the applicant has put forward through using an environmental consultancy a noise management plan that can further reduce the decibels by 10 decibels through the detailed kind of methods that they're going to take to prevent noise during a wedding occasion. That's all been detailed in the officer's report, so you'll all have access to that. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We'll now move on to the speakers, and first we have an objector, William Brickle. Yes, please. Yeah, it's a large button in the middle. Fantastic.
There we go.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. I probably share a frustration with many of you around the table in terms of this has been 12 months in the in its development, I suppose, as far as the application is concerned. It was submitted last November. I know that discussions took place with officers back in July. That's July in 2017. There've been many variations of submissions, which has been frustrating for the local community in terms of trying to keep up to speed with what was being talked about and how these were being developed. Just listing them would take me more than the 3 minutes allocated, so I shall gloss over those rapidly. The development work, including building the new access track, have all taken place without planning consent. And I know that you know, there are things that can be considered by this committee and things that can't. But it does mean it's all retrospective, which has built up the frustrations and our fears that the applicant might or might not abide by the conditions unless they are very strictly enforced. So that is one of the hesitations that quite a few of the objectors have raised. Although the application suggests that there could be 15 applications events per year, this is not actually conditioned as such. So it could be that between May and September there could be far more than that. So this is an issue that, again, we are quite concerned about. And we also would like to know how we're going to monitor what is legitimate traffic on the small lane between Moorcroft and Sunnycroft, and traffic that should be using the Bog Hall route. Signage is temporary, which is always an issue, and it isn't actually limited to the signage which is has been proposed. So it is suggested that perhaps the conditions could be amended to say, and that is the lot as far as signage is concerned. Otherwise, signage could continue. There is one that's not from the applicant, but a frustrated other local resident has got a huge sign on the A170 about sort of 4 foot square saying, this is not Deepdale. So you can see that the frustration about trying to access what is quite a remote location. There are other issues that, well, I was going to say most of the issues have been associated with the scale of the development. It is a peaceful rural area. Keldome doesn't have any commercial activity. It's residential, and so that is a very real issue that we are concerned about. And a lot of the access issues perhaps have been responded to in the conditions, but we are still very concerned about both the access route and its danger if it is misused, in fact, as opposed to anything else.
Okay, you've had your 3 minutes.
That's all fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I will wish you all the very best and for this time of the year. That's
thank
very
you.
Much, anyway.
No, I'm afraid you're not allowed to speak. Yes, you maybe didn't come in time for that. I'm very sorry. I did announce that at the beginning. So we're doing 8 first and then 7. Yeah. No, that's it. Thank you. I've now got the agent speaking, which is Emma Winter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Councillors, for allowing me to speak. Here is an opportunity for this committee to approve an application which supports a number of rural enterprises. A small livery stables, mobile farrier, holiday accommodation, and use of the farm as a wedding venue during the summer months, all of which are owned and managed by the applicant from the site and positively contribute to the local economy. Farm diversification schemes such as these are supported at both national and local policy level, with an understanding and expectation that such enterprises have an important role in creating and sustaining the rural economy. The livery enterprise is an acceptable rural business and provides an important service and facility in the area. The development of the wedding business at Deepdale was a result of 2 successful family weddings. It makes good use of the buildings during the summer from May to September and has 15 weddings booked for next year. There are no major changes to the building that have been required to accommodate the wedding business, with only a few additions to the site to provide additional seating and sleeping arrangements. These are small in scale and well contained within the farmstead, with the camping field providing accommodation for wedding guests only. The wedding enterprise also supports and sustains the wider rural economy, with local caterers, tent hire, furniture and accommodation all supplying Deepdale weddings. This is evident from the 13 letters of support from customers, residents and local suppliers. A new access via Bog Hall Farm has been proposed and constructed to address amenity issues raised by objectors. This new access has been accepted by North Yorkshire Highways, along with the use of temporary signage to ensure the correct access is used during wedding events. The applicants are willing to accept conditions controlling the use of this access. The new structures and road will not have a detrimental impact on the character or form of the site, the surrounding land, or the nearby area of high landscape value. A noise assessment has been undertaken by Yes Consultancy in response to the concerns that have been raised by objectors. The results of this survey have been accepted by the Council's environmental health specialists, along with a subsequent noise management plan. The appropriate certificates have been submitted as part of the application, and issues of land ownership are not a material planning consideration. In summary, the proposal will support a number of local rural businesses and the wider local economy. It is an appropriate farm diversification which will not cause adverse harm to the local landscape, highway safety or nearby residential properties. For these reasons, I ask you to support the officer recommendation and approve the application. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to questions for the officer. Has anybody got any questions? Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. I'm just looking at the late pages and a letter from James Cook, and he suggested a temporary permission for 4 years. I'm just wondering if the officers would have any comments on that, because I mean, it just occurs to me that if there's a balance to be made between the community and the developer, and the community needs reassurance, perhaps a temporary permission might be appropriate.
Chairman, the report does wrestle with that as an issue. It's in the report about whether a temporary planning permission is appropriate, and in this instance, we've concluded not. Albeit the application is retrospective, but nevertheless, there has been some significant investment in this site. And will be continued investment in the site, and it's a judgment call as to whether or not a temporary planning permission is appropriate. We're not recommending a temporary permission in this instance. Having said that, and it sort of puts me in mind of Howsham Hall application, which we dealt with about three committees ago. Obviously, these things are never on all fours, but again, that was an issue where locals had some concerns about traffic, the amount of traffic, the number of events and the like, and noise and amenity issues. And you recall in that instance, we, whilst granting that a full permission for the use, in essence, clawed some of that back to deal with the continual monitoring of the noise management and the operations plan after a 12-month period to see whether or not it was doing what it said on the tin, particularly with regard to the issue of residential amenity. That similar condition is recommended in this instance, Chairman. So that's how we've sought to balance the issue.
Just a supplementary, if that's
yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Is your recommendation against a four year temporary permission? Is it a balance recommendation, or are you saying that really we would have no chance of winning it on appeal?
That's always the dilemma, isn't it, in terms of the tests of any conditions. A planning permission can be challenged, as can a refusal of planning permission, and usually that relates to conditions that are imposed rather than by agreement. As far as I'm aware, the applicant would not be happy with a temporary planning permission. And so if we were to impose a condition of that ilk, we would be faced with an appeal, almost certainly, because that's been the indication about the acceptability of the condition. And so it's difficult to predict what might come out of an appeal, Chairman, but in terms of looking at the tests of conditions, I think we might struggle.
Councillor Mrs. Shales.
Thank you, Chairman. Regarding the new access, I see the highways apparently given approval. Will it be brought up to a fairly good standard right from the beginning with the amount of traffic that lets go on? I mean, wedding receptions, a lot of people coming to and fro. Is it really going to be in position fairly early on with all the rest of the traffic where there have to be alterations and so on to the rest of the building?
Thank you. Condition five
specifically mentions that there should be no further use of the site for the wedding venue business until the accesses to the site have been set out and constructed in accordance with the published specification of the Highway Authority, and then it details some further requirements. In a similar vein, our condition in relation to improving the surface of the path will also require that before the next wedding season, which is May, so I think there will be sufficient time to ensure that is undertaken.
Can we actually check that, or do we leave it for highways?
I mean, certainly officers are out and very frequently, so I can definitely make sure that that is checked.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I am looking in particular with the noise issues, and whilst I appreciate Yes Consultancy have produced an approved noise management plan, we're not actually privy to what that plan might say. And with all wedding venues, and I have one at Sandbourn Hall, which is across the road from Claxton Village, and I'm regularly called by residents of Claxton Village, some a mile away almost, to say that noise late at night is particularly annoying. So I'm wondering whether whether officers have considered curfewing loud music from a wedding venue, say after 11:30 at night. It's just a suggestion, Chair.
Thank you. The noise management plan identifies the time limits. So acoustic music provided outside shall cease by 9 p.m. Live performances of music shall cease by 11 p.m. and all provision of music shall cease by 12 midnight. In addition to that, the noise management plan requires a responsible noise management officer who will be taking hourly checks at various points throughout the site. And I would note that also this condition allows us to undertake an annual review and requires the responsible noise management officer to undertake recording of any complaints that are received. So I do feel like we would have control over that and also ongoing control over kind of any future alterations that transpire to be required. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further questions? No, we shall move into debate, and we don't have a local member, so I believe Councillor Windrush is the closest and is going to take this one for me.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. I think this application is far enough away from the village of Kelderdon that it won't cause any nuisance other than the vehicles of the guests arriving and leaving. The prevailing wind is from the west, so the majority of the time the sound from the wedding venue will be taken away from the village, and with all the conditions in place they should mitigate any other problems. Highways are happy with the new access, that the new access is suitable, and if the signs to the venue are adequate, then I'm happy to move officer recommendation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak on the application? Councillor Mrs. Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I would second Councillor Windrush's proposal to for approval. I'm satisfied, thank you very much, with the noise management plan. Obviously we didn't see the details of it, so that I'm reassured by that. And turning to the gentleman who raised the matter of retrospective planning, there's not a lot we can do when it comes to retrospective planning. We can't say no because they haven't sent the plans in time and started the job, so I'm very sorry about that. That's nothing we can do about.
Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. While I can certainly support this sort of diversification, and it does appear that it's that the impact will be limited, I do have concerns, and it'll come as no surprise that I'm once again at odds with what highways say. because I know this. I know this exact spot. It's on a fast descent just after a bend if you're coming south. If you're going north, it's just after quite a sharp bend. It's not a particularly good spot because I know the speed I come down there on my bike before I anchor on for the bend. So I am concerned about that highway access because I don't believe that it's safe. And it's interesting to note that the people in the area who know the area, the town council and to some degree local residents, certainly agree with that view. Other than that, I can't see too much problem. But I will say that if this is passed, I would hope that the applicant will adhere quite rigidly to the conditions imposed, because that is all about ameliorating the problems that neighbours may have. And as I've done before, I would implore the local residents to ensure that these conditions are being applied quite rigidly, and to inform the council if they're not, because it's very difficult for the council to keep an eye on things like this, whereas the local residents do know if anybody's not quite towing the line exactly as they should do. Thank you.
Thank you. It has been moved and seconded for approval, so I'll put that to the vote. That application has been approved. Thank you. We now move back to page 54 on your agenda, to application at Deepdale Farmhouse, Village Street, Keldon, with an application number of 18/00023/full. We do have, again, some speakers, but I will get Niamh to outline the application first for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This application seeks approval for the erection of a single-storey extension to the southern elevation of this building and to provide additional WC and shower facilities for site users. There was a previously approved scheme that has established the principle of this extension. This is just a slightly larger version of that. So it is a single-storey extension with a viewing area above, and it will be installed just at that location. The site is in an area of high landscape value, but as you've seen from the earlier photographs and these photographs, it will have a very, very limited impact on the area of high landscape value. This type of application would have no impact upon amenity or neighbouring amenity, and in that instance, we are satisfied that it conforms to policy. And that's just the site from the west, where you can see no views of the actual application site. Thank you.
Can we move to the speakers? And first we have an objector, James Cook.
Okay. Hi there. Thank you. Yeah, well, I was down to speak on the previous item, but obviously I've been disrupted from that. Might go back to some complaints I've made previously to the LGO about behaviour of some officers, possibly. I definitely negotiated with Alice Mortimer that I would speak here because the other slot had gone. So I don't need to rifle through what I was going to. I might stick to some main points. I think I should speak. So the impact, we got no photos from the A170, and it is in the Tabula Hills, the boundary of Deepdale Farm, is the boundary of the national park. It's quite prominent. We didn't get any from the A170, and we didn't before either, which is disappointing, since I pointed that view out as well in objections. I'll try to take some main cruxes. Of course, this was the first application for the wedding venue. It was for some toilets and a viewing platform. They hadn't actually applied for the wedding venue or the livery at that time, and then people said, oh, hang on, that's all right, but we actually supported this, but we said, what about this traffic that's appeared? So that's how all this came about. There was an application in 2008 for an extension and a triple garage, and that meant when construction was happening, a lot of people thought that's what was happening, not a livery and a wedding venue. So there's an element of deception in that, and I didn't oppose the lawful building, and I thought I could have done because of that element of deception, and because our access at the bottom, we had a gate removed and some stones were taken, so that's an element of criminality. And if there's any deception or criminality, lawful applications aren't supposed to stand. You could take the case of the man who built a house behind some straw bales and after 4 years took the straw bales down because that involved deception. That didn't stand. The other thing was about the noise assessment. They didn't take into account the two nearest farms. They're rented, so people who rent don't tend to complain as much, but there was every opportunity as far as I can see. And it's next to Spawnton Quarry, which the National Park approved for holiday lodges. There is permission for 5 holiday lodges in there existing. So I think there should have been some sensitive noise receptors in the quarry.
30
seconds
left. Because
that's supposed to create up to 150 jobs, according to the Windali estate. So if that is compromised because of this, then obviously the economic impacts will be negative. I think the nuisance will continue, even from the livery traffic. It's been suggested to me we're not reasonable to expect delivery traffic by a councillor on Friday to not use our tracks. So they're already not respecting the planning conditions. So
that's 3 minutes.
That's been now. And I'll just wrap up then and say I think, you know, there's 40 weddings booked in at a time. And I think they've taken hostage the dreams of possibly 80 families, and then they've come to you for a compromise.
Thank you. You've had
do you want to negotiate with what
can
I describe as planning terrorists?
Stop now.
And
I've
you've
politely,
actually, they've
please
got
stop.
Everything they could have expected. No,
I'm going to talk
no
over you now because you've gone over your time.
Okay.
Can you please turn the microphone off, please?
Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you. I would like just to say, Mr. Cook, that at the beginning of the meeting, I did say that I was swapping agenda items 7 and 8 down. You are registered to speak on 7, which is for the single-storey extension, not the change of use application. So I'm very sorry that if you feel aggrieved by that. We've now got the agent to speak on this application, which is Emma Winter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Councillors, for allowing me to speak again. The proposal in front of you today is for a revised extension to the existing tack room at Deepdale Farm to enable the provision of slightly larger toilets, separate showers and a disabled toilet with a decking area above. These facilities are required to support the successful wedding venue at Deepdale Farm, the livery business and the holiday accommodation. Overall, this revised scheme represents a modest increase in footprint of only 11.3 square metres in comparison to the originally approved scheme from 2017. This modest increase is relative in terms of the size and comparison to the other facilities on site, and it will not impact on the character, form or appearance of the site, the wider landscape or the area of high landscape value, as it would appear visually grouped within the existing buildings. Neither the proposed development will have an impact on neighbouring amenity, highways, access or safety. Both national and local policies support the sustainable growth and expansion of all types of businesses in rural areas, including well-designed new buildings. No technical issues have been raised in relation to the proposal, and there have been no objections from any statutory consultees or internal consultees. For these reasons, I ask you to support the officer recommendation and approve the application. Thank you.
Thank you. question. Do we have any questions for the officer? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, I noticed that the existing building is a fairly unattractive blockwork structure. Have we got any idea what's intended for the new one? I know there's a condition on, they've got to say beforehand, but have we got any idea?
Thank you. The plan notes that the external walls would either be rendered or completed with timber boarding, either of which would appear acceptable in this location. The terraced area will be completed with steel railings and non-slip concrete steps above the steps, which will either be brick or rendered blockwork. We are recommending a condition to seek final details of that prior to any above-ground construction. But I do think in this particular location, because of the location of it behind existing landscaping and even behind existing buildings, I think it will have a very limited impact. Thank you.
Any further questions? Now we shall move into debate. And Councillor Windrus.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, this is a revised application to one that was approved in 2017. It is larger than the original application, but it is within the existing farmstead, so it won't have much more visual impact than the previous approved application. So I'll just move approval for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anybody else wishing to speak? No, I shall second that from the chair and put the application to the vote. The application has been unanimously approved. Moving on to agenda item 10, which is application at Orchard House High Street, Cropton. And me.
Thank you, Chair. The application site relates to a recently constructed property, Orchard House, which is located along High Street in Cropton. The house itself is located just within development limits. The specific application site relates to a point at the rear of the domestic curtilage of the site, and retrospective approval has been sought for the erection of a detached timber sauna. The applicants had considered that they were undertaking this development under householder permit development rights, but they subsequently found out that they had been removed in the recent approval for the dwelling itself. The sauna is located to the rear of a range of outbuildings that are associated with the dwelling, and you can see that from the northern side, which is where this photograph is taken, it appears that it just kind of falls on from the run of existing buildings in terms of scale and design, as there is some timber within the actual range of outbuildings at present. This is a view of the detached sauna from the back lane along this side of High Street in Cropton, and you can see that it has a kind of domestic appearance that doesn't really appear to be at odds with the domestic character of a dwelling in this location. It has a particularly garden shed-like appearance, really, with the use of timber. Just to highlight, though, this photograph isn't taken from a public right-of-way. This is just a lane that is used by residents. Some concerns have been raised from the neighbouring property to the south, Red Bricks, and one of the issues raised is the potential for impact upon privacy. As detailed in the report, we don't agree that there would be an impact upon privacy, as this is, you know, far away from the domestic dwelling and private rear amenity space associated with that dwelling. but I would highlight that the applicants since then have obscure glazed the window within the southern elevation of that closest to red bricks. They have also accepted a landscaping condition to insert a hedgerow along this point that will further kind of limit any views of this from the neighbouring dwelling, although I must stress that in our view there isn't an impact in terms of loss of amenity because of the site of this building. That's just something additional that has been put forward by the applicant. This is a view of the building from the rear boundary of Red Bricks, which is the property to the south. You can see that this property has a lower land level, which may exacerbate the height of how the building is perceived from their perspective, but it still maintains what appears to be a domestic appearance and doesn't appear incongruous in this location. And you can see it just at this point from along the back lane. And then I've taken some photographs of just other domestic outbuildings that incorporate timber along this pathway, and obviously it will weather hopefully in the kind of the forthcoming months, so I think it will limit any impact that, you know, is being raised as a concern. Thank you, Chair.
We do have two speakers on this application, and first is a supporter, Jane Wilford. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members. I would like to speak in support of this application. Orchard House is a handsome, newly built property in the main street of Cropton. Prior to its construction, this plot was a garden and farmyard. The dominant farm buildings, including a large barn, were mostly removed for the new development. The new sauna building is at the rear of the plot and is not visible from the main street. It is situated to the rear of the property in the property's private garden, tucked away behind some of the former outbuildings that have been converted into garages. The sauna is tidy, attractive and constructed in natural timber. It is situated a reasonable distance from the boundaries and looks east away from neighbours. Photographs taken in the early morning sunlight show the sauna as fresh, bright and new, but time and weather will quickly soften and mellow its appearance. As the newly planted trees grow and mature in the garden space between the sauna and the lane, they will offer screening to enhance everyone's privacy. Whilst the new trees are small, the sauna may be seen from the back lane in Cropton. The back lane runs along behind the properties and is used intermittently, mainly by villagers. I know this well as the back lane runs alongside my own property and holiday cottage. The back lane is exactly what it says it is, a place at the back of properties where there is a wonderful collection of what you'd expect in a Rydale village. Compost heaps, old tractors and outbuildings and an assortment of timber-built sheds, hen huts, garages, summer houses. Some are old, some are new, some are tidy, some are dilapidated. Nothing objectionable, just a natural and characteristic village mixture. The sauna sits happily in this assortment and is in keeping with many other buildings along the back lane. In fact, one very similar building is only a few metres away from it. This is the nature and character of a village back lane. I would ask, what motive would a person have to object so strongly to this?
Thank you. And now to speak, the applicant, Melanie Bailey.
Good evening, Madam Chairman and committee members. My name is Melanie Bailey and I am the joint owner of Orchard House. Thank you for allowing me to address you tonight. Firstly, I wanted to appear in person to offer our sincere apologies for not carrying out the correct process in relation to the required planning permission for our building. We were unaware that permitted development rights had been removed, and we naively relied upon what now turns out to be the incorrect advice of our builder. As soon as we became aware that planning permission was required, we informed the council of our error and employed a planning consultant to ensure that we did not make any further mistakes. We never intended to offend our neighbours. As soon as we became aware of their concerns, we immediately took steps to mitigate any impact from the building. We've used frosted glass on the southern aspect of the building so that you cannot see into their garden. We have also sought third-party advice regarding sympathetic landscaping in the form of hedges to provide additional screening to the building. I would like to thank the planning officer, Neve Bonner, for all her time and effort in considering this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, just beforehand, I had intended to draw attention to the details within the late pages. And there was a further letter of support received from Mrs. Wilford. I wasn't going to go into that because obviously she was speaking tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the officer? Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yeah. We've talked about sympathetic landscaping. The building, although it's new and will no doubt weather in time, it does actually stand out because it is in fresh wood. I'm not sure if the wood type is different from the wood used in others. Is it possible for the planning committee to impose a condition requiring them to stain the woodwork in a way that is more in keeping with the surrounding buildings, which is or up with the buildings, which is part of?
The answer to that, very simply, Chairman, is yes. I mean, you could impose whatever conditions you want about materials, but I think the dilemma in staining wood a colour is that it keeps the colour, whereas if you leave the wood to weather and silver naturally, that's what I think helps recess it into the landscape. And I'm not sure if members can remember the timber garage further down in the village street, which was as yellow as that. We drove past it this morning, and it's grey, and it blends with the stone. So I think, actually, in my view, you're better off leaving the wood to do its own job and to weather.
Even if the wood is tannalised?
The building up. This next one. That's it. I guess that was probably red cedar when it was stained. If we'd got the other view of the other side of it, which is more open, it's almost grey. So I think if you leave the wood to do its job, it will get there. And there is, of course, the landscaping to come.
Any further questions for the officer? No, we shall move into debate. We don't have a local member, but I was wondering whether Councillor Potter, as local to the area, might be able to take this one for me.
Yeah, quite happy to do so, Chair. All right. My main concern as a member of this committee is what impact a building is going to have on neighbours. As far as I can see, this one's not obtrusive. It's sympathetic with the rest of the buildings. It's typical of a rear garden building. It has minimal impact, and I'm happy to move approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Paul Andrews, can you just put your microphone on just so I get that on there?
I'll second that.
Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to speak? It has been moved and seconded for approval, so I shall put that to the vote. Thank you. That application has been unanimously approved. And now move. And agenda item on the agenda is item 10, which is any other business. Firstly, on any other business, Councillor Paul Andrews has circulated this piece of paperwork. If you have any questions, can you please contact Councillor Paul Andrews directly outside of the meeting? Also, Councillor Paul Andrews, would you like to explain your next request, please?
Yes, Chairman. First of all, that one. It was originally a report done for Malton Town Council, so if it reads strangely, that's why. It's because it's not directed. It's not actually written for this committee. Secondly, this committee authorised Lindsay Burr to attend the meeting of the examination in public of the North Yorkshire Minerals Plan, the first session of which finished on April 2013. Sorry, on April this year. Sorry, it's on 13th of April this year. Lindsay represented the council at that meeting, and she was appointed by this committee. She can't attend the reopened meeting, which is due to take place on the 24th and 25th of January. As she can't attend and speak on behalf of the council, could members authorise me to do that? And I would add that I will probably be using a qualified barrister for any legal issues, but that will be of no cost to the council. The money will be raised as I did for this case, the one you've got before you, and by Crowd Justice.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. I'm quite happy to support you standing in place of Councillor Burr if you're willing to do so. Councillor Cleary.
Yes, just a slight something at the back of my mind that, I mean, I'm very happy that you can go and listen and be our pair of ears, but there's a slight thing if you're going there with two hats on and using a barrister, and is there not a slight conflict of interest that you're representing two parties?
I don't see it as a conflict of interest, because we all want the same thing. And this committee has made its views very clear.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
And to fair, Councillor Burr would be in that same position as well. So,
just to explain, this council's case and my case isn't a total ban against fracking. It's simply that we want certain controls which would make it. Which would provide a better balance between fracking and residents than the developers are inclined to contemplate.
Okay. Councillor Goodrick.
If it helps, Chair, I'll probably be there in any case.
Lovely, thank you. Councillor Potter.
Yeah, can I just point out that the Liberals will also be there in force? Thank you.
I would expect no less. Moving on to agenda item 11, which is a list of applications determined under delegated powers. And that is the end of the agenda. I will therefore declare the meeting closed. Thank you all for attending, and I'd like to wish you all a happy Christmas and best wishes for 2019. Thank you. And the officers.